Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one to hit them with this truth, they sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one. Day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one. Day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one. Day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, May the 13th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we've got a very powerful show scheduled for you today. Today, we're going to continue with part two of the series where we're talking about the three causes of neurological interruption. We talked about on Thursday or Friday, I think it was, the number one cause of all neurological interruption, and that is self-rejection. When we talk about neurological interruption, we're talking about Groundhog's Day. We're talking about the current mental disposition. We're talking about how you are able to continue to be the false you, which is a non-fulfilled you, which is a depressed you. So currently, the current disposition allows you to continue to be depressed. Now, we use the word depressed simply means a lowering of one's natural mental state. So your natural mental disposition, your natural neurological state is interrupted. So today we want to continue with part two of the three parts or the three keys that break down the things that interrupt your neurological response. That means that your brain is designed by source to operate in a specific manner. And there is something that is inhibiting you from moving forward or from operating in your true God-given design. And when we talk about the things that inhibit or that limit your ability to express, expose, and expand yourself or to optimize your life, we're talking about something that acts as a biological downgrade. Instead of a biological upgrade, that's the result of a spiritual awareness or a spiritual upgrade, there is something that is limiting or limiting your ability to be a electrical transformer that reduces your electrical capacity for transducing or to be a transducer, which simply means that right now, we are not, you are not operating and vibrating at the highest possible level, number one, because of self-rejection, which we broke down on part one. Today, we're talking about the second piece of the three pieces, and then we're going to get into the solution. But the second piece is self-hatred. So self-hatred, just like self-rejection, is not what you think. It's masked behind things that you are doing right now that doesn't seem like you are rejecting the self, but upon further investigation, we find out that in actuality, you are rejecting the self, but it looks like you are accepting the self. So the self, the brain, the ego, the false you is so smart that it is tricking and fooling you to buy you. So how can you recognize self-hatred? See, self-hatred can look like many things in our life that are positive. So self-loathing and self-hatred, it is disguised. So your ability to see or to under, over, and understand self-hatred, the true essence of what self-loathing or self-hatred looks like. So self-hatred or self-loathing is an underlining feeling that you are not good enough. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, in the name that is written on the thigh that no man, woman, or child can pronounce, help your people, Father, to under, over, and understand source code. So self-loathing, self-hatred is actually a feeling that brings about what we call dyslexia. It breaks down perception. It breaks down the ability for you to perceive. Most colorblindness is caused due to self-hatred. So when you find somebody that has issues with what we've been talking about before, like ADD, what I call EDHD, with this energy hyper deficit disorder, It's a energy mismanagement, which results or manifested in a neurological disconnection that is the result of self-loathing or self-hatred, which is an underlining feeling of I'm not good enough. But that underlining feeling of I'm not good enough prohibits you from taking action to move forward so that way you can be good enough. So the body tricks you. Now, the brain is so powerful. The brain is so awesome that the brain knows that the event that you are recalling that's producing the chemical that makes you feel like that you are not worthy is undetected. So the event is what releases the chemical. But you don't feel the chemical. You just feel the event. So you have an emotional event. You remember something that happened in your childhood that make you feel like you wasn't worthy. But the brain releases the chemical that came with the feeling, even though it happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But you're still releasing the chemical that causes the biological disconnection in the brain. So, again, the neurons in the brain cannot wire together. So all the three causes of all neurological problems or neurological interruptions, again, number one is self-rejection. But as we talked about, self-rejection is masked in the form of self-love. You overcompensate. It's superiority. It's overdressing. It's spending money on yourself. It's a fancy car, fancy house, nails, you know, hair, clothes. All of that is an indication that you are rejecting the self and accepting the clothes. Then we go to the self-hatred. So self-hatred is a form, remember, of self-loathing. And self-loathing is a form of a lack of the inner voice development, because when you are feeling inadequate It results in you behaving as though we are superior to others. So we want to come across as being more intelligent. We want to come across as being more clever. We want to come across as being more intuitive. And the smoking gun to the number one cause are the evidence that you are suffering from self-loathing, which is I'm not good enough, which is self-hatred, is you always have to be infallible, meaning the refusing to challenge, the refusal to listen to your inner voice, the inability to connect with the inner verse is the number one sign of self-hatred. Because the inner verse is the true self. And so in order to stop connecting with the true self, because you don't like the true self, you hate your true self. But the reason that you hate the true self is you don't see no worth and value in the true self. So the number one count is that if I give you your purpose and I tell you these are numbers, you are unconsciously, now you will say with your mouth, yes, doc, that's powerful, man, let's do it. But the whole time your mouth is saying yes, your spiritual mouth is saying no. And so with the conscious brain, you're moving forward. But with the unconscious brain and the subconscious brain, you're moving backwards. And since the unconscious brain is three times the size of the conscious brain, guess who's going to win that war? So the unconscious brain is spanking the conscious brain. Now, you can do mantras, you can listen to shows, you can read books, you can do all of the consciousness you want. You ain't going to bust a grape. Why? The unconscious brain is three times more powerful than the conscious brain. So while you are consciously doing all the right things, you are unconsciously sabotaging all the right things. So the unconscious brain is so powerful that the unconscious brain smokes the conscious brain. It's not even a fair fight. It's a mismatch. That's why Groundhog's Day is so difficult to get out. That's why most of my clients and most of the people I know, including myself, spent so many years in Groundhog's Day, because Groundhog's Day is the true day. See, death is really life. See, while you're awake, that's child's play, homie. What we're doing right now is child's play. What you do when you walk around, when you're daydreaming, what you do at night when you're sleeping, what you do when you are contemplating, what you do when you're sitting there, you know, meditating, what you do when you the next show, when we get into the true solution of everything after this, and I'm going to take this and I'm going to turn it into my next book. Because this series is so important, I'm going to take the notes from this and I'm going to flip it over into a book. And I think I'm going to publish this one on Amazon, so make this widely available to everybody, because this series is so important. Why is this series so important? It's because everybody on the planet, when I walk around all day, all I see is people who are not making love to their brain. Now, the difference between me and pretty much everybody else is that I'm in love with my brain. I'm actually in love. I've elevated in love with my brain. Now, because that's difficult for the average person to wrap their brain around, and there are different techniques that are available right now, whether it's the Wim Hof method of breathing, whether it's yoga, whether it's Tai Chi, but it's all designed to activate the Kundalini and the Kunda buffer to have a orgasm in the brain. And the inability or the ability for you to have a brain orgasm instead of a brain aneurysm is the difference between success and failure. The only way to get out of Groundhog's Day, as I'm going to get into the three solutions. Now, we're doing the three causes. This is going to be a 7-part series. I'm going to turn this into a book. You might want to pick it up. Because when I started this, you know, I was just like, okay, I've already talked about this before. I've written books on this already, so I'm just rehashing the same thing. But I noticed it struck a chord or a nerve, not only in myself, but in other people, because I got a lot of good emails and a lot of the Facebook, YouTube views has been really, really astonishing because the neurological components that I've been talking about is registering with people. So I'm noticing that as long as I'm talking about biology and moving away from religion, that there's more of an acceptance of the message. Because when I talk about religion, it just alienates people. It just divides people. Because then the Muslims, they don't want to listen because I'm using the Bible and scriptural reference. But everybody understands that you have a you have neurons in your brain and dendrites. The word dendrite is actually a Greek word that means tree. So everybody has trees in their brain. And so everybody understands that, again, if you watch the movie Avatar, it was all about the trees. And it talked about in the movie Avatar that the trees, the roots are interconnected underground. Let me say that again. In the tree is a dendrite. Dendrites are in the brain. The dendrite is a part of the axon that's part of the neurons in the brain. So the neurons have an axon. The axon has dendrites. The dendrites are the branches. The branches are interconnected. So there's something that's not allowing your trees to communicate with each other. So regardless of that, your dendrites, they hear me. Your flesh is rejecting me, but your dendrites, they understand me. So the dendrites are connecting. The dendrites understand that the only way to get out of Groundhog's Day is for you to understand the neurological flow has been interrupted, and there is an activity that is called ranging or granging that is taking place. There is a psychological disorder called free floating, where the thoughts are impulsive and they're not based upon reality. So when I was a young cat and people could not understand, I could not understand my impulsive behavior. I could not understand why everything would be going good and I would have an impulse that was based upon self-hatred. That was an extreme dislike or hatred for myself or oneself. Or there was a feeling of being angry and even a feeling of being prejudiced against my own race, where I, as a black man, hated black men and hated black people. So I married outside of my race. I moved outside of my race. I lived in the white. I married white. I moved into the white neighborhood. I thought I was white. I acted white. All my friends was white. All of that is a sign. The number one sign of self-hatred is the rejection of the self. But if you look at people and if you ask them why you marry outside of the race, I guarantee you they're going to have this dumbfounded look on side of their face because they don't understand it. Because remember, this is unconscious. Now, again, since I didn't read about this shit in no book, this is my real life. I'm not making this up. You can't find this taught nowhere because what I am sharing with you is 50 years of personal experience of what causes the neurological interruption in my own brain. What caused me to not be able to connect cause and effect? I could sit down and I knew I was an intellectual person, man. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. I knew that if you don't pay your bills on time, they're gonna come pick up your stuff. But there wasn't a connection with cause and effect. So people see people with behavior problems and they think that the person is just doing this on purpose. I'm telling you from personal experience, 50 plus years of personal experience. When you look at little Johnny in the eye and he says, and you ask him, little Johnny, why are you talking back to the teacher? And he say, I don't know. He really don't know. Now you can beat little Johnny. Now my dad did the same thing. He punched me in the mouth and I still went out and stole and did everything that I did because of the anger. But the anger was not at the other people. The anger was at myself. Because underneath, I knew that there was a feeling of that I wasn't good enough. There was a feeling that I didn't measure up. There was a feeling of self-loathing. But where did it come from? It came from being in a family of 13 children and one parent. And there's no way in hell that one parent could spread herself around to 13 kids while working three jobs. That's not possible. But as a child, all you know is that you're not getting attention. So you assume something's wrong with you. Because you notice the attention, especially if you had siblings like mine. My brother was a world-class athlete. My brother graduated number three, the third student out of 600 students in high school. My brother aced. We took the ASVAB. That fool made a perfect score. He missed zero. He could have went into nuclear physics. He could have done anything he wanted to. My brother was one of the – he still is one of the most smartest people that I know. Me, I failed the ass VAB test 3 times. My black ass barely got in. So my brother was a world class. My brother ran a 21 flat 220 in high school. Now, I don't know if you know anything about track and field, but the Olympic world record. Now, this is we're talking about in the freaking 80s. My brother was running Olympic world class at 16 years old. The dude played football till he was 45, was smoking people. He could go play football right now. The dude is built like a Mack truck. People see me and they say about that dude, you got to see my brother. My brother was my father. I looked up to my brother. Even though he was a year older than me, it was like he was 10 years older than me because he was so far advanced than me. So how the hell am I supposed to measure up to that? When I went to high school, they told me that I thought you was Glenn Rogers' brother. I said, yeah, but you're like 5'5", 150 pounds. Your brother was almost 6 feet, like 190, when he was a freshman in high school. What the hell happened to you? I said, I don't know. I guess I didn't get the genes. So all the coaches, all of my siblings, everybody saw me, and it was like, wow, what happened to you? I guess you're the runt of the litter. That's all I heard all my life, how I didn't measure up, how I wasn't like my brother. Now, I got 3 stepbrothers. The shortest one of my stepbrothers is 6'5". My oldest stepbrother that recently passed away was 7'2". 7'2". Their biological father was 7'5". You don't even want to know what my biological father's height is. So when me and my stepbrothers get together, people be looking up. They look up at him, and they look down at me, and they be like, okay, yeah, y'all stop playing. Y'all not brothers. I said, yeah, we got the same mother, but we got different fathers. Okay, let me try it again. Can anybody hear me? Can somebody text me and let me know? Still can't hear me, babe? Wow, what happened? Let me see. Council. Let me see. Connect. All right, can you hear me now? Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
All right, great. All right, I think I'm back, man. Like I tell you guys all the time, when stuff like that happens, you may have to disconnect and call back in. So if everybody can hear me, okay, please let me text me, just let me know. Glad you can hear me, okay, right?
Yes.
Okay. What about now? Can you still hear me? Okay, great. All right, so I think I'm back on. So we're gonna keep rocking and rolling. And this kind of stuff happens, you know, all the time, especially with messages and shows like this. So thanks everybody for the thumbs up and letting me know that you could hear me okay. So we left off talking about the most important thing when it comes to
man, this is so close to home that, you know, I'm able to talk about it now without having any emotions attached to it. But I remember back in the day where, you know, I couldn't talk about this stuff because it was so and it's crazy because it caused a lot of friction between me and my brother. And I really didn't understand, neither one of us, it wasn't until I really got into psychology. That's why, you know, I come across very negatively, you know, a lot of times when it comes to religion. And religion has a lot of good components. But science and biology and psychology is so important because religion just kind of tells you what, but the science and the biology and all of this other stuff, it really gets into the how and the why. So I didn't know why I was angry. Now, I had basic common sense that says, okay, you should be angry because your mother died. You should be angry because, you know, you was raised poor and all this other stuff. So, but I didn't understand that the root of feeling like a failure. You know, I felt worthless pretty much all my life, really up until about 6 months to a year ago when all of this stuff happened, when I was sabotaging. Now, remember, I sabotaged my first marriage, and I was sabotaging this one, and I just kept going through, you know. I really could not understand. I knew I was doing stuff that probably wasn't, you know, the best thing to do. But when it came down to under, over, and understanding the root cause of the why, that's where I didn't have no assistance. You know, even the little help that I did get from a, you know, therapy or therapeutic perspective still wasn't beneficial for me. And obviously medication wasn't an option. And so when I talk about self-hatred, I'm not talking about something that's easily identifiable. If it was easily identifiable, then everybody on this call, myself included, could easily stop Groundhog's Day, stop sabotaging yourself, and you could take massive action. So everybody know what to do. There's no adult that can tell me that you don't have common sense, that you understand that if you don't go to work, that means you're not going to get paid. And if you don't get paid, that means that you're not going to pay your bills. If you don't pay your bills, you're not going to have a place to stay. Now, I knew all of that. But yet and still, I quit jobs. I got out of the military, perfect career, with no plan, no savings, no nothing. I just got out because of the way I felt when I went in. So everybody goes to places and you feel something. You could be in a marriage and that marriage makes you feel good, or it doesn't. Now, you got to find out why you feel the way you feel, because your feelings are real to you. If you do not deal with your feelings, if you do not deal with the elephant in the room, so every day I'm honest with myself. Now, I will lie to everybody else because it ain't nobody else's business. I don't need no assistance from no reverends, no doctors, no bishops, because I know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I know that the key to the kingdom is within. So I know that God has given me everything that I need for life and godliness. But I know that the only way that I'm not moving forward is because I'm refusing to acknowledge what's going on inward. So I know there's something inside of me that is limiting me from seeing me. I know that. So I don't need nobody to tell me that, man. I don't need, neither do you. I know that every problem is a self-worth problem. I know that. I've been through all of the shit, man. I've read all the books. I talked to all the gurus. So you've read all the books too. You've read all the gurus. You don't need no other guru. Your inability to take action at the base and at the core is because of self-rejection. It's because of self-hatred. And it's because of a lack of the inability to see worth and value in the self that results in self-shame. You are ashamed of yourself because you know. I know. I'm almost 60 years old, man. I should have at least 5-6 million sitting in the bank right now. I know that. my own private yacht. I know I should be doing this show right now in the Bahamas, sitting at the beach. I know I should be in a position to pay for every client's round trip ticket and hotel stay, so we can go, and every member of the Life Master could be sitting in the Bahamas right now with your family, and we sitting there laughing and joking. I should be in that position. I should be in a position to help all my children and their children's children. I should be in that position right now. I should be in a position to do the, you know, do shit that Nipsey Hussle was doing, to do stuff that Oprah Winfrey's doing. So there's an amount of self-guilt and shame because I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Now, other people don't know, because other people don't know the gifts and the talents that source code have gave me. But I know in my heart and in my gut, I know I am underperforming. So that's why I'm a peak performance coach, because I'm coaching myself. And I'm coaching anybody else that want to come along with myself. Now, if you ain't interested in operating in your peak, homie, I'm cool. You can keep vibrating at the level you at. Me, myself, and I, all three of us, this time next year, my black ass going to be in the Bahamas. I'm going to be traveling the world. I'm going to be freaking living the dream. Money is not an issue. I will be in perfect health, as I'm already in perfect health. I will be all-knowing, all-power, all-present, all benevolent and all simplicity, because those are the attributes and characteristics of God, and I am the offspring of the thing. I'm the son of God. So the offspring of the thing has the same attributes and characteristics of the thing. And your inability to see your self-image. So you are, I am, we all are suffering from an image problem. You don't see yourself being God. So you are an individual expression of God. Now, I know saying that you are God is hard. So let's not say it until you get to the point where you can say it. Just say that you are a child of God, because that's what the scriptures say. You got to start somewhere, man. Don't start off by trying to eat the whole elephant. The way that you eat an elephant is by taking one bite at a time. So we take one bite, just one step. We already took one step, and we dealt with self-rejection. And right now, you're buying stuff because you are rejecting yourself. So you're putting stuff on outside. All of the makeup, all the hair, all the clothes, you know, even me, all the, you know, the fancy car, all of that is an indication of that you're rejecting yourself. The second issue is the loathing of the self. And the way that I know that you loathe yourself the same way, and the same problem that I have, there is an inner voice inside of me that is scolding me. It belittles me. It embarrasses me. It tells me that I'm stupid, that I'm insensitive, that I'm so I have to suppress that. That results in a depression. That results in feelings of inadequate, and being inadequate. So I start behaving as though I am superior, and I start acting like a know-it-all. I start carrying myself like I'm the most intelligent, because I got to overcompensate for my inferiority, because I have a feeling. But unless I deal with that feeling, because the feeling is valid, so by dealing with the feeling and say, yes, at one time I was in that position, but I'm not a child anymore. I'm not a kid anymore. I don't need the validation of my mother, who ain't even here to give it to me. So I can stop manifesting this self-loathing process that divides me from being me and separates me from having a relationship with other people. And so I know that there is an internal enemy that is an internal death coach. It's not an internal life coach. That internal death coach is fighting against the internal life coach. So this fight, the flesh is warring against the spirit. The spirit is warring against the flesh. The two are contrary to one another. So my job is to deal with the neurological interruption by conquering the inner voice. So there is this inability for me and you and a lot of other people to really have a critical, really critical thinking process in place where we bring all thoughts into captivity, like the Bible says. Because there's nothing wrong with having event recall. What's wrong is when you think about a negative event, if it's accompanied by a negative feeling, that means you haven't dealt with it. So now when I think about a negative event, I was a child, Sister X used to beat us. So when I think about that negative event, there's no negative emotion attached to it. I can think about that event. I can have negative event recall. It's when you have negative event recall and it produces chemicals in the body as if the negative event is happening again. That's what PTSD is. The inability to separate the event from the emotion. You can think about and talk about the event, but if it produces the emotion, and usually it's in your cell membrane, it's a DNA imprint. Sometimes you have the feeling without even having the event. There are some people who can have the feelings of being in a negative event without the event. You could be walking down the road, you hear a loud noise. Bam, your body immediately goes back to that event that causes a certain feeling, and it releases the chemicals inside of the body that produces the feeling of a negative event. So the job is to don't try to think or not think about the event. The goal is to remove the emotion from the event by realizing that the event was an actual event, and it was negative, but it's over. That event is not coming back because you're an adult. You're not putting yourself in that environment anymore. So you don't have to feel that feeling anymore. You can still think that thought, and you can deal with it from a perspective of reason and logic. By under over an understanding that there's no reason to hate the self. Because self-hatred comes from a place where you feel a strong dislike for the inner workings of the self. So now we got to ask a deep, 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 deep question when it comes to under over understanding behavioral health, which is a part of the Clarinomics program, which is why I developed the program, to help people deal with the psychological effects of what I call Willie Lynch, or slavery, or, again, trauma-induced mind control, or PTSD, or any type of nutritional lack from growing up as a kid. So self-hatred refers to an extreme dislike. So we've all learned different ways to hate ourselves. Now we've got to learn the most important way to love ourselves. And that is to realize that you are your own worst enemy. There is nobody outside of you. It's all inside. So this feeling of unworthiness, the feeling that says, I hate myself, it comes from a self-critical spirit. So the next question is, why are you critical of the self? Because it was, like everything else, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, meaning immersion therapy, meaning exposure therapy. So you was exposed to events over and over again over time that produce a neurological interruption inside of the brain. Now, this neurological interruption inside of the brain separated you from your true image. So there's an image. What is the image? The image that is inside of your brain is an image that the Father, that the prime creator, that God has placed inside of you. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if you don't know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You have the power to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you had a few hours, I could tell you how great and powerful you are. In fact, there is no reason you should hate yourself. There is all the reason in the world that you should be walking around like kissing yourself. You should be tonguing yourself in the mouth every day, all day. I don't know how you got time to love anybody else because you should be so busy loving yourself. Because when you love yourself, that allows you to love everybody else. The reason that I'm able to interact with people right now because I understand all the things that come from and everything that caused my self-hatred. And that was I hated the fact that every thought that I formed in my brain was a thought of I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. At the end of the day, you have no idea how it feels. And now, let me phrase that. You probably do. Remember, mine came from sports because that's how I got my worth and value. Because I wasn't good academically, so I could get no worth and value from academics. My family was destroyed when my mom died, so I couldn't get my worth and value from having a mother and father in the home. So I wasn't a big muscular guy, so I couldn't get no worth and value from my physical physique. So when I was a child growing up, where could I get a feeling of worth and value? Where could I go and feel love, value, and respect? Where? Answer? Nowhere. There was nobody that pulled up on side of me and said, yo, young buck, there was no coach, there was no teacher. The only person I had was the lady who assisted me, her name was Emma Shorts, after my mom died. And she had six other dudes in addition to her own children that she was helping. So even she was maxed out. But at least she said, boy, if you need a place to stay, you can go in there and, you know, make you a pallet on the floor. And that was like in prison because I had to go fight against the other dudes that was in there. So every night we were going there, we was in there fighting like cats and dogs. Because if I was fighting on who was going to sleep where. So all I did was fight when I was a kid, from 12 on up. So I couldn't go nowhere. And then you become adult, and I'm a black man in America. Where can a black man in America go and feel loved, valued, and respected? Somebody please tell me. If you know, please email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. The only place I go, that's why when I went to church, And a black man pulled alongside of me and said, hey, I love you with the love of God. I said, what? In fact, I see your worth and value. You do? Yeah. Come on over here and run the sound equipment. We got something for you to do. That's why I would have took a, you're talking about somebody that was brainwashed. Man, I would have took a bullet for my pastor. If that nigga would have told me to go rob First National Bank, I would have went rob First National Bank. He was the first black man who a man that looked like me, walked like me, and talked like me, saw worth and value in me. Now, I don't know if he did or not. I'm sure he did. I'm sure his intentions were real because I was a good tither. And I found out after I stopped tithing that, well, that worth and value that he saw, yeah, that shit left real quick. As soon as my money stopped coming in, all of a sudden that worth and value that I had stopped coming in. Now, your church experience hopefully was different from mine. But I keep it real. So what do you think that did? That just sent me back into a tailspin. That's why I packed all my shizness and I moved out of Texas and I moved to a whole other state. And I started all over. And I went over there and guess what? Somebody said, hey, we see worth and value in you. You do? So all my life I've been looking, begging and pleading and setting up situations where people could hopefully say, I see worth and value. Why y'all think I separate myself so fast? The moment somebody gives me an inkling of an ideal, when you reject my message, you rejected me. That's why I don't take criticism very well. So I don't put myself in positions where I'm criticized. But I do put myself in positions where I criticize. You know, the most dangerous thing you can do is post something on Facebook. You got people that don't even got a picture, that don't even got a Facebook page. They just set up last week blasting you. That's why I used to get into so many Facebook debates 5 years ago. I used to blast people on Facebook. Why? It was personal. That's why religion is dead. I can't be religious. I cannot be religious. Because, again, whatever I'm for, I'm willing to die or kill for. So that's why I was a religious zealot. That's why I can't really do church. Because if you come up against my beliefs, that means you come up because I have my beliefs. Unless I don't have no beliefs. That's why I don't got beliefs. I only got knowing. I only believe what I know that I can prove cosmically, biologically, scientifically. Because why? If you reject that, you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting the cosmos. You're rejecting biology. If you walk up to me and say, Brother Will, I don't know. Everybody on earth people don't have two kidneys. So if you make that statement, I am not going to take it personal. Because I didn't make people. I know, based upon medical evidence, that everybody got kidneys. So if you come up to me, I'm going to laugh at you because I know that you're ignorant. Because I know everybody got two kidneys. So I solved my self-worth or self-loathing and self-hate problem by aligning myself with the truth, not King James Version. Because you can tell me King James was a homosexual. I can look it up. And you know what? Damn straight. He was a homosexual. And King James got freaking William Shakespeare to rewrite the Bible. And what they published in 1611 and what we got now is not the original. I can look it up in history. So when you reject that, you ain't rejecting me. So now I cannot do lies. Because if I do not have the right self-image, it takes me back to self-hatred. That is why the truth is not a game for me. I got to have the truth. I got to be able to prove every statement that I make. Because if I don't, I go back to being a worthless piece of shit. Pardon my French. No, don't pardon my French. I meant to say that. So, see, everybody else, this is a game. But this is not a game for me. That's why I got $10,000 to anybody that can prove me wrong. I got $10,000 that I would gladly give you if you can prove me wrong. I would rather die today instead of live 1 second in error. Why? Because it brings up unresolved feelings of trauma and loss from the past that have a huge impact on my... See, everybody else, they don't have the acute sensitivity to pain and negative circumstances from childhood because they didn't grow up like me. You didn't have to walk around in a circle after you ain't ate in 3 days. You didn't get hit on your back with no damn metal pipe when you was 5 and 6. You weren't placed in extreme cold and heat. You didn't live in an environment where your life was threatened every day. Not you personally, but, you know, people you know. So my stressful situations created a feeling that my core being was threatened every day. I grew up in an environment that was unconducive for the natural development of the psyche. So that stress led me to having a feeling of identifying myself as being helpless. Because what was I going to do, man? The adults was holding me down. The lady had a pipe wrapped in black tape. And she used to beat me and my brothers and sisters. And then she was actually had the balls. She didn't have ovaries. She had balls to beat my mom. So I grew up thinking, okay, what are we going to do? So I learned helpless. I didn't read about it in no book. I grew up with an understanding that ain't nothing you can do, man. The white man's in charge. But he wasn't white people that was doing the damage. The lady was black. Even our own husband left. I remember the day. I still got that image in my head. That's crazy. Because I remember them in the parking lot arguing. And I remember him getting in the car and he drove off. And I never saw him again. And then Sister X was in charge of the little freaking cult church that we was in. So growing up in an extreme environment where stressful situations and the feeling of being threatened at my core, and I was fighting for my life every day from the age of 5, that's far as I can remember. I can't even go back any further. I just remember feeling helpless, and there was something about seeing the verbal and physical abuse of a parent. I don't know, man. I've seen a lot of people told me a lot of bad stuff. It's almost impossible to override and get that image out of my head. The verbal and physical abuse of the parent, because the parent is supposed to be the one that's protecting the child. So when you see the verbal and physical abuse and punishment of the parent, well, the parent is punked. Why do y'all think they did that in slavery? Remember, they would take the buck male, the biggest, baddest dude, and they would tar and feather him in front of all the other slaves. What you think they did now? If Jim Bob, who was big and bad, he's the head of the family, he's the leader of the family, if you punk him, what the hell you think they're going to do to you? So Sister X was good at what she did. She knew that if she punked my mama in front of her children, we was all going to fall right in line like little chickens. And that's exactly what we did. That feeling, I had to deal with, brothers and sisters. And I don't know what your feeling is, that when you learn self-loathing and you learn self-hatred and you've learned how to be hopeless and you've learned it, brothers and sisters. You was not born with that crap. You learned how to hate yourself. There's a little voice in your head that's saying you don't measure up. There's a little voice in your head that's saying, what the hell are you going to do? There's a little voice in your head that says you're running out of savings. What the hell are you going to do? You ain't got nobody to depend upon. The shit hit the fan. You ain't got nobody. Nobody got your back. That self-critical spirit, that is anti-self, because that is not the real self. The real self is self-accepting. The real self is goal-oriented. The real self is goal-directed. The real self has life-affirming attributes and characteristics. But on the flip side, there's self-hatred. There's self-denial. There's paranoia. There's not metanoia. You're suspicious of everybody. There's this inner voice, but the inner voice is not uplifting. The inner voice is self-critical. So this critical inner voice, that's an internal negative coach. I call it the internal death coach. That's the negative habit pattern. Because there is a feeling that this shit ain't going to work. And because you feel it, you bring about what you feel about. So until you deal with the underlining and stop hating yourself, you will always sabotage yourself. So how does self-hatred affect your daily life? How do you know that there's self-hate evidence? Because you will always, my brothers and sisters, see the glass is half empty. The glass is never half full. You will always have this feeling of worthlessness that you project on the other people. Because since you feel it, that's what you give it. You can only give what you feel. You can only give what you got. So the way that you can tell where you at is by telling how you treat other people. Now, I can bring my wife on it right now, and she'll tell you. The kids could do 1,000 things right. And if they leave a sock in the floor, I will go cuckoo. The reason that I don't say anything or do anything, honestly, because this is a part of my therapy. I don't care how the house looks, clean or dirty. I don't care what clothes are washed or not, because I have a self-critical spirit. I have a perfectionist spirit. I always see the negative. You got to hit me in the head with a 2x4 for me to see anything positive. That's why I don't do morality, because I understand that feeds the demon. Now, other people don't understand why I don't do morality. It's okay, boo-boo. I know me. It's my job to know me, not you. And it's your job to know you. Now, maybe you didn't come from such a dark hole that I came from, but that's I'm just giving you an example. Feeling like a failure is self-punishment. Like, y'all have no idea. You have no idea how good it feels when I punish myself. That's why I don't do it. That feeds that demon. People honestly think, you know, the hardest thing for me to do is what I did yesterday. Yesterday, I went out to eat on Mother's Day with my wife and her family. Nobody knows how hard it is for me to sit at a table with a group of people and be normal. Y'all have no clue. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I drove my own car over there so I could leave whenever the shit started getting too uncomfortable. You know the hardest thing for me to do is to be loved. Now, I can love people, but if you love me, oh, and God forbid if you love me unconditionally. Oh, man. When you ain't around, I'm going to go cry like a newborn baby. Y'all have no idea how many times I've pulled aside after my wife should have rejected me and she didn't. See, I do shit on purpose so that way I force people to hate me. And when they do, it just validates me. So I punch buttons so that way people have the right to say, we don't like you no more. And I'm like, yep, I knew it. I'm a failure. And so then I'm good. But if I push your buttons and you say, Doc, I love you, dog. What? Hold up, time out, dude. I just did something bad to you, man. And you still love me? Like, what do you do that at? Unconditional love. That's why I know it works. Because that's why I'm still married. That's why my business is successful. I put myself in an environment of unconditional love. Because you see, brothers and sisters, at the root of self-hatred, at the root is an underlying feeling that you're just not good enough. No matter what you do, you're a worthless piece of blank. You are not good at all. No matter what it is, no matter how much you do, there is this underlying feeling that you know people are just waiting for you to slip up. And as soon as you slip up, oh, there he goes. I knew it. That's why it's so easy for me to do these shows. Because everybody on the internet is fake. Not everybody, but most people. I can do 1,000 shows, and immediately if I say something wrong in the show, that's going to be somebody on my YouTube channel. Well, Brother Will, I know you said that this, but I looked it up there. Actually, you know, blank means blank. And I'm like, yep, I'm in the right environment. Everybody's just like me. They see the glass half full. They're waiting for you. They don't give a damn how many things you do right. If you do one thing wrong, and you get kicked out of the club. That is self-hate. Notice what I said self-hate is. Self-hate has nothing to do with what most people look for. You see, self-hate masks itself because people can't see it. So self-hate masks itself in the form of error. You making error so that you can verify to yourself that you're not successful, or you can't be successful, or that you are a loser. Because the underlying feeling is, I'm not good enough. So you keep doing things to prove you're not good enough. So when you don't take action, when you don't do videos, when you don't do all the stuff that I ask, what you're doing is you're verifying, you are feeding the negative habit pattern. That's how you stay in Groundhog's Day. So the only way for you to stay in Groundhog's Day, you got to self-punish yourself. You got to, now remember, comparing yourself to other people. That's why sometimes I do stuff on purpose to violate people's sacred cows. That's why I got into the whole cursing thing. Like, cursing really makes me real uncomfortable. I don't know why. I don't know why that bothered me. Y'all know that me and my son got into, I almost de-sonned my son just because he cursed. Now, that fool grown. He's a grown-ass man. He can talk. He can curse anytime he wants. But why does that bother me? Because cursing means that you don't have the intellectual fortitude to come up with another word to use. Because, remember, I pride myself on being very intellectual. So that way I can get verified or validated to prove that I am good enough. Because, remember, feelings of superiority is an indication of feelings of inferiority. You got to overcompensate. That's why I fit in that prison. When I went to prison, I knew that, oh, these fools. Everybody in this mother is just like me. They trying to act hard because them Negroes scared to death. so I could see through everybody. So when I went to prison, I was at home. That's why I had no problems working in prison with the inmates. All the problems I had was with my fellow officers. The inmates loved me. When the riot broke out, the inmates put a circle around me, and they protected me from getting, this is a true story. Riot broke out in the rec room. The inmates protected me. The guards, they didn't. Because the inmates knew I was just like them. What was it? I came from a dark place. Self-loathing. Self-loathing is the underlying feeling that, again, you're not good enough and you keep doing it. It is the habitual comparing yourself to others. You are constantly finding fault with yourself, and you are constantly putting other people down because you're always putting yourself down. You have no real awareness that there is nothing wrong. That's why God sent me to the whole thing of working with the homeless people. I went out there because something was wrong with them. And then I went out there and I worked with them, and I realized, shit, ain't nothing wrong with these dudes. Most of the homeless people were making more money than me. The amount of money that I was getting paid when I was working with the homeless people, that was people that was homeless. That one dude I told you, he was a full bird colonel. He was homeless. The dude had a freaking government check, $2,500 a month for the rest of his freaking life. And he was homeless. And all the homeless people, see, the number one key that you hate yourself is you trying to save everybody else. Like I told you guys when I first met my wife, and I was like, oh, man, she was living in the hood. I'm like, oh, babe, I got to get you out of the hood. You know, this is blah, 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 blah. She's like, nigga, I don't need saving. When I met my wife, she was making more money than me. In fact, she paid all the bills the first 2-3 years of our marriage. She put me on her savings plan. I moved in into her house. I drove her car. She took care of me. But yet, I thought I was saving her, when in fact, she was saving me. You see, brothers and sisters, self-hate, just like self-rejection. Everywhere I go, that's all I see. I see these three keys in every person on earth. At different levels, but it's the same devil. He just operates in different levels. And until you deal with these three devils, again, vices, you can operate in the virtues, success. Success will always run from you because you will always sabotage yourself. Because number one, you're rejecting yourself. Number two, you're hating yourself. Now remember, it doesn't come across like that. It just comes across as a very self analytical spirit, a very perfectionist spirit. If you're a perfectionist, there's an underlining spirit that says you are uninvited. Everywhere I go, I feel uninvited. You could send me a letter. You could come to my house. You could say, Doc, we want you to come. But in my brain, something says, Negro, they don't like you. They faking the funk. Me and my wife been having this. Me and my wife, we've been together for 10 years. And in my brain, my wife and her family, they don't like me. And I just went out to dinner with them, everybody, and everybody think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. But in my brain, it's all a setup. My brain says, hey, Doc, don't fall for it, Holmes. Don't fall for it. Because the moment you start liking them, they're going to turn on you, man. Don't do it, bro. It's a setup. There's a little voice in my head that says, Negro, you are not invited to the party. You got a fake invitation. See, there's an underlying self-loathing process. It's a critical, but it's an inner voice. Nobody else hears it but you. I'm a work in progress. That's why I can teach you stuff, because I'm in it. You can't teach nothing that you ain't been through. There's an inner voice that is diametrically opposed to your own self-interest, self-worth, and self-value. Are you serious? So you mean to tell me that there's no devils? There's no demons? Well, I don't know about y'all. That's why I've never seen nor experienced evil. Shit, I am evil. Where do I look for it? I had to go look in the mirror. People tell me all the time they fighting the devil, they fighting demons and stuff, and they praying to God. I'm like, what, really? Like, what do they do to that? Like, every devil I've seen is a person's inner voice. People are battling their own interior demons. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. The two are contrary to one another. There ain't no, now, I'm not saying that, well, let me rephrase that. I can't say there ain't no devil or no demons out there. But, yeah, boo-boo, you on automatic pilot of self-destruction. There is an internal struggle that is going on that is sabotaging all of your own personal goals. Like that movie with Jim Carrey, that one scene he's playing the movie, and he was just fighting himself in the bathroom, and the dude walked in and said, man, what are you doing? He said, man, I'm kicking my own ass. That's all I've been doing every day. Yeah, I don't have no, like, life is good. Everybody that knows me likes me. I don't like me. The problem is not other people. The problem is myself. The problem is I don't measure up. I'm not good enough for me. Everybody else like me, but I don't like me. So now I got to get rid of that demon. You do too. So how do we get rid of the demon of self-hate? How do we totally remove the fact that you are under siege by yourself? You know what I did? You know what I do every day? I call it voice therapy. Now, in the old days, I used to call it, you know, faith talk. Now, everybody got different methods of this. But let me just tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. This works. You have to start by breaking the destructive thoughts and the internalization towards yourself, not other people. There is no demons and devils outside of the self. You got to stop the cycle of self-hatred. You got to totally live free from the imagined limitations that you are placed upon yourself. You got to learn to challenge that voice when it says, Negro, you ain't good enough. Negro, they don't love you. Negro, they ain't invite you to the party. They just invite you because they feel sorry for you. You know how to destroy that demon? By adding worth and value. Never go, especially to the white man's table, especially the white man. Now, black people too, but especially the black. Never go to a potluck without bringing a dish if you got this issue. Because what you're going to do, all you're doing is feeding that demon. Let me say it again. Father, touch the minds of your people. This is what I produce every day, all day, 24/7, 365. I never go to a party without bringing a dish. What does that mean in English? Always be an asset, never a liability. Never allow yourself to get in a position of need. Now, this is what cured me. I'm going to keep it real. Can I keep it real with y'all? Remember this last fiasco? I had the greatest thing that ever happened to me was when I left my wife, supposedly, and moved in with this other chick. And because I didn't jump through the hoops, she packed all, first of all, she destroyed half my shit, and then the other half of the stuff she put out. That was the greatest, that cured me of all my philandering ways. I would never, ever, ever, ever put the keys to my happiness in some other Negro or Negroette's pocket. I would rather die first than be in a position where I needed help or assistance for something or someone. That's why I produce. That's why I get up early. That's why I stay up late. Oh, I got cured, bro. Quick. Instant cure. The moment that you realize self-hatred does nothing but put you in a position where you are a liability to other people. You're not an asset. And guess what that means? That means you come across as desperate. That means you come across as needy. Now, I don't know no other look, especially for a black man, a grown black man. That's why I don't like brothers who got their hand out, looking for a hand out. I said, man, don't, Don't. I'm not the one, boo-boo. You don't want to call me because, see, I've been in that situation already. You better pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Now, I'm not against helping people. Remember, I'm talking about self-induced. I put myself in that position. Fool, anybody put a gun to my head and made me leave? Did anybody make me do what I did? I did that on my own. Now, the greatest thing that happened to me, everybody think that was a tragedy? That was the greatest thing that happened to me. Why? That was the life-changing event. What was the life-changing event? I put the keys to my happiness in somebody else's pocket. Now I have a voice in my head. That voice in my head develops insight. It gives me the ability to do critical thinking. I have critical thinking skills now. I am all-knowing. I have discernment. I have more compassion. I have more of a realistic point of view toward myself and towards others. Now I challenge destructive behaviors in myself, destructive thinking in myself. That inner voice now encourages me and it engages me. Now I'm totally immersed in challenging any negative trait, any negative characteristic inside of me. Now I am totally disconnected from fear, doubt, and unbelief. I do not do fear. Now I am immersed in 6339 all day, every day. People ask me all the time, why I don't do rabbit trail? Now remember, you got to know you better than you know anybody else. Anybody else can go buy Bitcoin. Anybody else can sell, you know, liquid vitamins. Anybody else can sell and do other things. I can't. Why? That feeds the demon. I must stay focused. I must exercise discipline. Now, the number one key to therapy, this is extremely important. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. The key to understanding me is for me to exercise focus, discipline, and order. Focusing is a treatment that affects you on a cellular level that most people don't think, people do not understand how powerful focusing is. It totally stops free floating and free ranging. Biologically proven. I have this inside of my book, Neurotheology, how the brain is hardwired for the Word of God. The Word of God being your innate attributes and characteristics. How you think affects how you feel. How you feel affects how you live. How you live affects your life. If you improve how you think, you are guaranteed to improve how you live. All day, every day, I do one thing. I monitor my feelings. If I have a feeling, I realize that there are nerve chemicals called neurotransmitters. They keep the messages moving from one nerve to another. Neurotransmitters. I know that's controlled by feelings. I know feelings are controlled by thoughts based upon biology. So I know. I don't have to have faith. I know. I don't have to have a curandero. I know. I don't have to consult a shaman. I know. I don't have to call the Reverend Dr. Bishop. I know that neurotransmitters regulate the nerve function, including memory, including appetite, including mood, including movement, and including my wake and sleep cycle. I know. I know that the ability to interrupt or disrupt the neurological connections in my body and alter the nerve cell function, which initiates a cascade. It opens up Pandora's box, and it destroys my neurological connections the moment I entertain a thought or a feeling that says, You are not good enough. You are a failure. You need blank. I know the moment I have one thought, the underlying feeling of not being good enough, not good at all, that not good feeling, for other people, that's good to have. Act like an alcoholic. If an alcoholic has one drink, he opens up Pandora's box for other drinks. I know the feeling of inadequacy is manifested when I start behaving like I'm superior to other people. People ask me all the time why I talk about myself negatively. People ask me all the time, you know how many people have called me and recommended and say, Doc, when you do the comical stuff on your shows, how come you don't call yourself Dr. Will Rogers? Why do you still call yourself Master Teacher 33? Why don't you promote? You have 50 books. Why don't you lead? Because you are so superior to everybody else. Your knowledge and your information. You should have your own office. You should be consulting the stars in Hollywood. You should only work with elite clients. You should work with CEOs of corporate America only. Why are you down here trying to help the average Joe? Why you got a life management system? Why are you taking payments? Why do you only charge $250? You get ready to start this class in June. I've had three people ask me already, the stuff that you are offering. My millionaire buddy texted me a couple of days ago or emailed me. Say, man, you still down there dealing with the bottom dwellers, the bottom feeders. Why are you trying to help people that don't want to be helped? All of that is a trap. It's a trick. They don't know, but I know me. I know that feeling of being superior is the opening of Pandora's box. It's like taking that first drink of alcohol, because that helps to mask the fears of intimacy. I know that drive for me to seek isolation by keeping myself away from other people and limiting my exposure because of my fear of being intimacy. Because if you get close to somebody, there is the potential of the rejection by somebody. I know that that is a form of self-hate. I know that I have to deal with the challenge of controlling all aspects of my life. I got to give up the pattern of defense that I formed from my childhood, because everybody that I loved left. Either they died or they rejected me. So now I don't let myself form deep, intimate relationships with people. I keep everything in a joking, warm and fuzzy manner. That way, if there is a rejection, I was never really emotionally invested anyway. So I know that I have to deal with the tranquility or the quality of my mind that creates fear, that creates worry, that creates jealousy, that creates doubt. I know I got to check the intent. That is why I tell everybody, that's why I keep saying on every show with a lot of righteous indignation, I don't do fear. I don't do love and hip hop. I don't do drama. I'm not the one that you want to involve in that, because I major in that. I will be running the show. So I don't involve myself because of the neurological pathways that are activated whenever I engage in those activities that belittle other people. So you see all the little knick-knack stuff, all the little drama stuff, I can't engage in that because I came from that. That activates a part of my neurological behavior that those demons, yeah, I got to keep them suckers locked up. I can't feed them. So from a neurological perspective, it's very important, brothers and sisters, that everybody listen to the sound of my voice. You have to understand what is the cause of your self-hatred. What was the fundamental thing that says you're not good enough? Who told you you don't measure up? And you got to replace that with faith talk, or what I call voice therapy. Now, when we get into parts 4, 5, and 6, I'm going to get in depth into a technique that I use that, again, scientifically proven, because what it does is I take my energy. Number one, I create dopamine, I create vasopressin, I create oxytocin, I create vasopressin, serotonin, melatonin on demand. I don't wait for things outside of me. I maintain an orgasm in my brain every day, all day. I do not allow myself to come down from that high because that produces something that I'm going to be breaking down when we get into the three keys to totally destroy. Now, again, we establishing the three problems. This is the second one, self-hatred. So the key to get out of self-hate is obviously self-love. But if it was that easy, everybody would love themselves, and I wouldn't even be struggling with self-love. So when we say self-love, what does that mean? That means, as I've been saying, which is why I say it all the time, this is why I know it works, because God loves me when I'm at my worst, not at my best. So I don't try to be a moral man. I don't try to be a good man because that's a trap of the devil. Now, I know for you that may be different, but for me, because I came from the devil, I understand how the devil works. I came from darkness, brothers and sisters. I wasn't born with no silver spoon in my mouth. I wish. I wasn't no freaking, you know, trust fund baby. I didn't graduate at 18 and walk into no millions of dollars. I've been on my own since 13, really since 11, really since about 8. Because the whole time my mama was around, she wasn't around. She was so busy with her nose wrapped up with Sister X that she wasn't there for, at least she wasn't there for me. I can't speak for my brothers and sisters. So I've been on my own since at least 8 or 9. So I learned, but what I learned was wrong. I had a feeling like, oh, the bottom is going to fall out. So I expect the bottom to fall out. So the bottom was always falling out. So the opposite of that is what I do now. I expect the glass to be overflowing and full. So I wake up every day and I do things to keep the glass overflowing and full. Therefore, the glass is always overflowing and full because I reverse engineered hate. I reverse engineered fear. I reverse engineered doubt. So the same way that you get possessed is the same way that you get depossessed. So the same way that you go down the rabbit trail, the same way you come out the rabbit trail. That's what I teach in the life management system. And it works, but the key is, and this is very important, because a lot of people say a lot of stuff, brothers and sisters. And I'm not saying that none of the other stuff doesn't work. All I'm simply saying is techniques require you to have cognitive dissonance. Not cognitive dissonance, cognition, meaning in order for you to implement a specific technique, you got to be aware from a therapeutic perspective that you are engaging in an episode or trauma. Now, if someone is having, if someone has a mental illness, usually they don't know they have a mental illness. So people who have PTSD, they can't predict what's going to trigger PTSD. If they did, it probably wouldn't be called PTSD. They could prepare in advance and get mentally prepared or take some medication so that way if the loud sounds go off, if somebody driving a car and it backfires, or if somebody yells, or a plane drops up overhead, or whatever triggers the emotional response, if they could prepare for it, it wouldn't be an issue. Now, I am always, remember the movie Incredible Hulk? It was a scene in the Avengers. And they asked David Banner, how do you bring on the Hulk? Because the Hulk only comes on when you angry. Y'all remember that scene in the movie, The Avengers? And they asked him, man, how do you summon the Hulk? He said, I'm always angry. Meaning, the Hulk is always there. Let me tell you the key. Now, we're going to break it down, because me telling you, it ain't going to do nothing for you. I got to show you step by step how to do it, how I do it. Now, everybody else got different techniques. You know, you can do Wim Hof breathing. You can do yoga. You can do meditation. You can do Tai Chi. You can do all of this stuff. Emphasis on the word yoga, you they start and a stop. Breathing starts. So if you do Wim Hof, if you immerse yourself in ice cold water, it causes you to breathe like that, and you get what they call deep breathing. You get oxygen into your cells and to your lungs. Yes, that works. Going to the gym and doing, you know, frequent intense training like I do, yes, that works. But the key is what David Banner said, or my boy who's playing the Hulk is always angry. For me, the glass is always full. I don't have to, I need to have the glass full. The glass is always full. I'm always in a spirit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. That's why I say all the time, if you listen, go back to my shows, go back to 19 when I started doing this in 2007 and 8. 1990, really. 1990, January 1st of 2009. What's the key to my success? I'm always successful. So we say, well, Brother Will, that's not possible. Hold on. The imaginary world is the real world, the inner world. Because remember, I'm dealing with an inner voice. So there's an inner voice, it comes and goes. There's an inner voice that says, hey, Negro, you know you ain't good enough, right? See, but the inner voice comes and goes. But see, there's another voice I got. It's always saying, I've been young. Now I've been old. Now I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. You see, brothers and sisters, I don't know what God you got, my man. I don't know why you go to church and what you do, boo-boo. But I don't go to church on Sundays. Nigga, I'm in church every day. I'm always in church. I don't need my song to play for me to be in the presence of God. I'm always in the presence of God. I'm always at the throne room. I'm always in the presence of the King. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I don't fear no evil because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, y'all got to summon up. There's a ritual. There's a technique. There's some hoop jumping. There's some salt. There's a tithe. There's something you got to do in order for God to be with you. But you see, brothers and sisters, yeah, my God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. He's always with me, even until the end of the world. There's no place I can go where he's not there. See, I know for you, there's something that you can do where God will leave you. You stop paying tithes, okay, you out. You know, if you commit adultery, okay, you out. If you do that, see, you got a guard that got hoops. Now, I ain't mad at you, boo-boo. You know, you got to do you. But when you came from where I came from, you got to have a guard that's the God of gods. You got to have the King. That's the King of kings. You got to have a Lord that's the Lord of lords. You got to have the lily of the valley. You got to have the bright and the morning star. You got to have the Alpha and the Omega. You got to have the beginning and the end. You got to have the one that was, the one that is, and the one that is to come. Because then he's omnibenevolent. He's like he says in James chapter 1. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights. In him there is no shifting. There is no variable. There is no change. He's always good. All brothers and sisters, once you understand the secret, these three problems, these three demons that keep you stuck in Groundhog's Day,